answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I want to thank President Trump for his faith in me and his selfless leadership for our republic. The troops have no better commander-in-chief than Donald Trump. As I've said to many of you in private meetings, when President Trump chose me for this position, the primary charge he gave me was to bring the warrior culture back to the Department of Defense. He, like me, wants a Pentagon laser-focused on lethality, meritocracy, warfighting, accountability, and readiness.
That was Pete Hegseth's beginning of his hearing today before the Senate confirmation hearing. Hegseth, of course, picked by Trump to be defense secretary. Every cabinet appointee nominated by Trump must face a Senate confirmation. And there as he began making his opening remarks, you could hear someone in the back, a woman yelling out and shouting. I couldn't really tell what she was saying, but she did not like him being there. He's been accused of womanizing, having an affair outside of his marriage, and some other things of that nature. And that is part of character. And character is part of a position if you're going to hold in government. But my God, if we're going to strike every member of Congress and Senate in every cabinet position or president, Bill Clinton, are you listening? Who has shown some moral drops in judgment, I'll use that in a polite fashion, then we won't have anybody running this country. We're men, we're sinners. Doesn't mean it's right, but we're all going to fall short. And here he is nominated to lead the defense secretary position, and unless the actions would continue and he would be facing a court-martial as defense secretary, I mean not a court-martial, but a full hearing over that. But the other issues they've raised, that and supposedly he's drinking too much, his own co-anchors at Fox News, the one who will speak publicly, not anonymously, willing to put their name on, say, I sat beside the guy for 10 years every morning. I never see him drunk or looking like he's drunk or hungover. And they're willing to put their name on it. Those who are calling him out and making these allegations, they're listed as anonymous sources, informed sources, other sources, so forth and so on. We'll break it down for you because these cabinet hearings, we know since it's Trump, they're going to make it as hard and as difficult as they can. But I've got a report here from the Hill that says it's already apparent the Democrats are going to be on the losing end on this because Trump's going to get what he wants. Thank you for joining us. Here we are, January 14, 2025, number 1 hour of Larry Connors USA. And reminding you, while we're on the air, we are streaming video. You can watch. You can go to News Talk STL, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Rumble. Go to Rumble. Larry Connors USA, Rumble. You don't have an account. You don't need an account. You can just open up Rumble, search Larry Connors USA, and watch live. And reminding you the same thing for Larry Connors USA Facebook. And when we're complete, everything goes up as a podcast at News Talk STL podcast outlets, LarryConnorsUSA.com, Larry Connors USA Facebook, and any other podcast outlet you want. We're available for you. So here's Pete Hegseth in his beginning statement, and immediately there's yelling and shouting behind him. Well, of course, he's going to face more trouble from those in the audience as we continue, but the vice chair of the Armed Services Committee is Senator, Mississippi Senator Wicker. And when you have a committee of this nature, the controlling party, which is the Republican Party, they chair the event, but you put someone of equal stature from the other party in second chair. And that would be Mississippi Senator Wicker, who did not mince words when it came to Pete Tagseth. And Missouri Senator Wicker. Mississippi Senator Wicker.
Let me just say this. The Capitol Police are going to remove immediately individuals that are disrupting the hearing. I see a pattern attempted to be inflicted on the committee, and we're simply not going to tolerate that. You may proceed.
To bring back war fighting, if confirmed, I'm going to work with President Trump and this committee to, one, restore the warrior ethos to the Pentagon and throughout our fighting force. In doing so, we will reestablish trust in our military, addressing the recruiting crisis, the retention crisis, and readiness crisis in our ranks.
Members of the security force will remove members.
Yeah, there were more shots and complaints, and let me correct myself here. That was Mississippi Senator Wicker, but he is the chair of the committee. He is the Republican. And saying, we're going to maintain order. But the complaints from the Democrats are still going to be coming, too, and they're entitled to. They sit on the committee. And this would bring us to Rhode Island Senator Jack Reed.
These are perilous times, and the position of Secretary of Defense demands a leader of unparalleled experience, wisdom, and above all else, character. The Secretary is expected to be a fair, nonpartisan, and responsible leader, as well as a trustworthy advocate for the men and women that he leads. Mr. Hegseth, I do not believe that you are qualified to meet the overwhelming demands of this job.
That's pretty direct. I don't believe you're qualified. Well, again, a lot of it has to do with not what he knows factually about Pete Hegseth. But he and the other Democrats, they know that once they can get this train rolling, they can try to run over him like they did Kavanaugh as he was up for Supreme Court justice, and Amy Coney Barrett, all because they are appointed, nominated by Trump. We will find a way to derail them. And we don't need facts. We just need the help of the mainstream, state-controlled media. And Hegseth said, we saw that coming.
Or I was with you on 100 different tour stops for Concerned Veterans for America. No one called me. No one asked about your conduct on the record or off the record. Instead, a small handful of anonymous sources were allowed to drive a smear campaign and agenda about me because our left-wing media in America today, sadly, doesn't care about the truth. All they were out to do, Mr. Chairman, was to destroy me. And why do they want to destroy me? Because I'm a change agent and a threat to them, because Donald Trump was willing to choose me, to empower me, to bring the Defense Department back to what it really should be, which is war fighting. So I'm willing to endure these attacks. But what I will do is stand up for the truth and for my reputation.
And there he was talking about some of those who said they would stand with him, that they won't be quiet. They will step up and say what they need to, when they need to. And he continues addressing those complaints. And Hegseth, after he talked about the smear, he talked about the continuation of how these folks, some of them just hide in the shadows, throwing arrows at him.
Or I was with you on 100 different tour stops for Concerned Veterans for America. No one called me. No one asked about your conduct on the record or off the record. Instead, a small handful of anonymous sources were allowed to drive a smear campaign and agenda about me because our left-wing media in America today, sadly, doesn't care about the truth.
So again, he's repeating, look, these are folks who were there with me, but we already knew how you were going to put the others together in a smear campaign against us.
And what became very evident to us from the beginning But there was a coordinated smear campaign orchestrated in the media against us. That was clear from moment one. And what we knew is that it wasn't about me. Most of it was about President Donald Trump, who's had to endure the very same thing for much longer amounts of time. And he endured it in incredibly strong ways. So we, in some ways, knew it was coming. We didn't understand the depth of the dishonesty that would come with it. So from story after story in the media, left-wing media, we saw anonymous source after anonymous source based on second or third-hand accounts. And time again, stories would come out and people would reach out to me and say, you know, I've spoken to this reporter about who you really are, and I was willing to go on the record. But they didn't print my quote. They didn't print any of my quotes.
No, they didn't want to. They didn't want to carry any quotes that might make him look better. That is a smear campaign. If you want to give a balanced report on him, if the man, and he's admitted, yeah, in the past I've been a womanizer. In the past, maybe I've had too much to drink. But I'm still capable of doing this job. Balanced reporting? That's a term that's been lost long ago. Now, defending us from foreign enemies will be his primary position. But obviously, we need to be concerned about enemies inside our borders already. Thank you, Joe Biden. And there's a very frightening story out of Chicago, as reported by one of the Chicago TV stations.
Melissa Caraway works for an HVAC company that was scheduled to service units at 533 East 33rd Place in the Lake Meadows neighborhood. She says residents get advance notice that they'll be making the rounds and entering their units. When no one answered the door, she says she let herself in.
And I came across some C4, some explosives, a rifle, A lot of fake IDs, a lot of fireman stuff, a lot of police force stuff, and it just looked like it was fake, you know?
She says the discovery happened around 10 a.m. in a unit on the sixth floor. She wasn't sure what to do at first, but says she called police about a half hour later. Video of the response shows law enforcement with ballistic shields, others with rifles. The entire building was evacuated, officers going door by door to tell residents they needed to leave.
I was afraid because I didn't know what was going on. So, again, I've been out here since like 11:15, 11:30, and I still don't have any information.
After several hours inside, CPD says its bomb unit cleared the scene as a precaution, determining the objects were safe and posed no threat. Police say someone was placed into custody on the scene, but no further information was provided.
Now, let's stop and think there for a moment. Now, again, we don't have all the details. They're still in the process of investigating. But what she described, she saw. And they say they posed no threat. Maybe they posed no threat as they were in that location at that point. But let me ask this. Just riddle me this. If you have a collection of 20 different passports at one location, that might not be, quote, considered a threat like an explosive ready to go off. But 20 different passports? Who in their house has 20 different passports? Different names and pictures, or maybe the same name, same picture, different countries, or same picture, but different names. I mean, these passports can be mocked up in so many different ways, you'll never get to the bottom unless you can have full verification. So I would say, yeah, there is still a threat to be considered. Those are maybe, some of those who come across the border the dark of night that they didn't want to be found. They might be some that came across with our help. And, of course, do not forget, we have a major, major event coming up Monday next week, the inauguration. And D.C. police say they are going to be getting additional help.
Our entire police department will be activated for the presidential inauguration. In addition, we'll be reinforced with nearly 4,000 officers from across the United States who were generous enough to raise their hands and commit their time to assist the Metropolitan Police Department. Those additional resources will be deployed to manage traffic, secure dignitary routes, and ensure public safety in our city. I'd like to pause and thank those officers who are coming to our city, taking time away from their families to ensure the safety and security of this event. Their commitment to our country, to this city, and their law enforcement partners are admirable. They deserve praise from us all.
They do, and they're volunteering. These are police officers from across the nation who say, I'm willing to take either my vacation time or whatever I've got scheduled. I'm going to take it. I'm going to go to D.C. I'm willing to report and be there to follow your instructions to make sure we have a safe inauguration. And they recognize that right now the angst and the anger is so high among some of the deranged that we've got to make sure Trump and others are protected. Keep in mind of the others who will be there, many Democrats, although some are not going to be there because it's Trump being inaugurated. But there'll be a lot of innocent people there, and they will be targeted as well if you're not careful. So I'm glad we're going to be beefing up security, and certainly we need to. And with these police officers volunteering that time, hopefully that will add an extra layer of protection. It's going to be a long day, but I'll also tell you this, at the end of that day, you're going to have to maintain the tightest security possible, not only through the Secret Service, but everything moving forward. Coming up in the later in this hour, we'll take an update on the fires in L.A. and around the area. Winds have been picking up, and they're estimating the winds today could be among the fierce they've seen, 70 to 80 mile an hour gust with embers in the air. You could have numerous more fires break out, and some of the fires they've been battling are only anywhere from 20% or less contained. And additional ones are breaking, but the Santa Ana winds are continuing as well. Death count at least two dozen more. More than 40,000 acres of the greater Los Angeles area wiped out, 12,000 structures. And the biggest, the Palisades fire, 14% contained. 105,000 L.A. residents have had to be evacuated. We're going to get into that more, but that is not the biggest concern of Joe Biden. You'll want to hear that before we wrap up this hour. Coming up next, the state of Tennessee makes a ruling regarding Title IX and boys and girls sports. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
My sponsor, Wellington Environmental, has helped thousands deal with hazardous materials. Hospitals, offices, schools, even homes. Here's something new. Wellington now offers dustless blasting. This is just like sandblasting, but without all the dust and emissions. Wellington uses everything from ground glass, walnuts, corn, even dry ice pellets. One university had Wellington remove their parking lot striping because dustless blasting is fast and it does not damage the concrete. So as a business or homeowner, I'm sure you could use this process. Industrial tanks, swimming pools, graffiti on buildings. And in fact, Wellington is blasting a Texaco station that will be revised as an historic building. Check the website for details and photos, WellingtonSTL.com. WellingtonSTL.com. Ackerman Toyota is number one in sales for 2024. That is 2 years in a row. It's really no surprise. Ackerman has the largest customer lounge where you can relax, take your time choosing new or premium pre-owned. Ackerman at Hampton and 44. AckermanToyota.com. Thank you for making Ackerman Toyota number one 2 years in a row. AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota for life. John Beal knows that right after a hailstorm, new roofing companies start popping up everywhere. But the Small Business Administration reports 96% of them go out of business within the first 5 years. So how good is that warranty? John Beal started in the roofing business helping his granddad and his dad. Always offering the best roof, best price, best guarantee. John Beal Roofing, not some fly-by-the-night operation. Call my friend John. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. A federal district court in Kentucky the other day made a ruling. We just haven't had time to get to it because of so many things going on, the L.A. wildfires and, of course, the inauguration coming up. But the decision was made in the state of Tennessee, basically, that blocks the Biden administration's attempt to change the meaning of, quote, sex in Title IX. Joining us to break it down, Edward Bartlett, founder of SAVE. That's an organization focused on fairness and due process on college campuses. Ed, glad to have you with us again.
Hey, Larry Click. Great to chat with you again.
Well, let's get a quick breakdown of exactly what this is involving, reference of the case itself.
Well, so Title IX is the infamous federal law that's in theory supposed to end sex discrimination in schools.
Title IX.
Unfortunately, the Biden administration got it all turned around, and they said, hey, why don't we redefine the meaning of sex to include gender identity and allow biological males to participate in women's sports, and all will be good. That was really their rationale. Well, there were multiple lawsuits filed just in the last 3 or 4 months. And finally, the Judge Reeves of Tennessee issued the final fatal blow. He issued what's called a vacatur opinion that vacated the Title IX regulation, not only in the state of Tennessee, but throughout the entire country. So this was really a stunning, but in a way, long overdue decision.
Well, I'm looking at a quote from the Alliance Defending Freedom attorney and president, and she says this is a colossal win, as you said, for women and girls across the country. The Biden administration's attempt to redefine sex not only tossed fairness, safety, and privacy for female students out the window, it also threatened free speech and parental rights.
Well, that's totally right, and there's actually more to it. So we know that false allegations of sexual misconduct are rampant in colleges, leveled against male students. And this new regulation, in addition to everything we've just said, actually eliminated fundamental due process protections for the falsely accused. So it is a prime example how ideologues, and let's call them neo-Marxists, almost succeeded in weaponizing the Department of Education.
I would say they have succeeded. We just need to wrestle control back and maybe just get rid of the Department of Public Education as Trump wants. When Clinton first brought it in, Department of Education, it was probably a good idea to make sure we get good and fair and adequate teaching for all kids. But then once it became politicized, it was off the tracks.
Yeah, and the politicization, we trace it all the way back to 2011. That's when Obama issued his infamous Dear Colleague letter that started this trend to eliminate due process on college campuses. And when President Trump was in office the first time around, he actually eliminated that horrendous Dear Colleague letter and implemented a new regulation that promised and instituted a series of due process protections, again, primarily for male students who have been falsely accused. So
right.
It's definitely been a seesaw experience. But this time, we think, we're not going to say it's the final nail in the coffin, but we definitely are celebrating this definite win.
All right, Dad, I want to get into it in more detail. You're listening, Ed Bartlett, founder of SAVE, an organization focused on fairness and due process on college campuses. This is a ruling by a federal district court in Kentucky. Does not mean that is the final say. I'm sure there will be appeals.
Well, there may be appeals, but remember, Biden has what? He basically has 1 week left in his term of office.
If you're going to tell me the Department of Justice won't be appealing it, there are plenty of other groups out there that are willing to step into the line.
Well, ACLU in particular is one of those groups. National Women's Law Center is another neo-Marxist group. But the deck is definitely stacked against the neo-Marxists on this issue, because it has been litigated so thoroughly. There have been actually, I believe, 8 decisions by district judges that are opposed to this radical redefinition of sex. So again, the deck is stacked against the neo-Marxists on this particular issue.
You know, this particular case involved a young woman. Isn't that correct? That she had a male posing as a woman or claiming he wanted to be in the locker room with her and her sports team.
Yeah, so the Alliance Defending Freedom, the ADF, they were one of the many organizations that filed lawsuits, and they were the ones that filed that lawsuit in Tennessee. It was Tennessee, not Kentucky, where the decision by Judge Reeves was handed down just last Friday. So, yeah, that ADF is one of actually, there have been actually more lawsuits by state attorneys general. And again, we have won almost every one of those lawsuits at the district level. And it's really been a stunning turnaround to see that, you know, truth and reason and fairness seems to be making a comeback here.
But you're punishing a guy who wants to go in the girls' locker room and pose as a girl. And have you no sympathy for the guy?
I'll be blunt with you, Larry. No, I have zero empathy for that. Just like I have zero empathy for a woman who falsely accuses a man of rape.
Yeah, and that is again part of the issue where we started when we were talking about Title IX, and of course to also make sure that girls' sports has equal funding and attention as boys' sports, and it became a ball of twine that you could not find where it began and where it ended, but we know what it was supposed to be in the beginning.
Well, you know, I like to believe that truth and reason ultimately will always triumph. And that belief has been vindicated this past Friday. You know, there's still battles to be waged because at the local level, there's still individual school boards that are pushing, you know, the gender identity nonsense in their curricula. And so, you know, this is not a time for complacency. It's a time for, hey, we need to continue our battle against this transgender nonsense.
Oh, I agree fully. Just because you win the territory and plant your flag there doesn't mean someone won't come in and try to take it down.
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, in for example, where I've lived for many years, Montgomery County, Maryland, the school district wants to teach about, you know, transgender and all that, and refuses to tell parents and refuses to allow parents to opt out of their own students, so their own children. So, yeah, the battle still has to be fought, but definitely we've won a very important victory this past Friday.
Do you sense with the Trump being reelected and knowing the attitude and the numbers by which he got reelected that there is a true movement across the nation that we're not going to put up with this kind of nonsense anymore?
And I'm going to agree with that and say it's not just in the United States we're seeing this.
Yeah, you're right.
This revulsion with this political correctness. We just saw it in Canada with the resignation of the prime minister.
Right.
We're seeing this in England with developments there against the prime minister named Starmer. We're seeing this in multiple countries around the world. basically are saying they're sick and tired of the totalitarian shove it down your throat ideology that, you know, just sort of discards free speech, discards science, and on and on. And we're seeing this is an international trend, I believe.
No, I think you're right. I think it's going to have waves that hit every shore. But again, you can expect some to come out of the water and try a different tactic.
Yeah, so I think my message to your listeners is this is not the time to be complacent. Yes, celebrate the moment, but, you know, run for school board, attend your school board meetings, look in the library of your local schools, and if you are offended by what you see, you know, do not be silent. Speak out, whether it's your state lawmakers or your school board. We have to maintain the momentum that we have right now.
Well, I hope everybody heeds your message, because I agree with you that you cannot let your foot off the pedal at this point. And again, I want to thank you very much for your time, and Godspeed on your efforts to help protect our children.
Thank you much, Larry. Be in touch.
You bet. Again, that is the founder of SAVE, an organization focused on fairness and due process on college campuses. How can you be against that? You can't, unless you simply want to impose your will upon everyone else, regardless of what your will is. That's Ed Bartlett. Coming up, Joe Biden says we have a very real and serious threat in our world and our nation, and that you, the American public, you're too stupid to understand it. And in fact, there's a CNN climate poll that shows, yes, you are too stupid. Or maybe you're much smarter than they are. That's still to come. And Megyn Kelly talking about her woke friend. You don't want to miss this one.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I've got a phone number for you and a website where you can take a free quick survey to learn how to use artificial intelligence, AI, to put your company on a fast track to the future. Here's the number. It's a 636 area code, 636-689-0545, 689-0545. This is PRI Global, and recently the St. Louis Business Journal named PRI Global as a leading IT consulting company. 25 years working with hundreds of companies, several Fortune 500, locally and around the world. PRI Global has its own AI lab to develop what's best for your company. Take the free survey and be on your way to the future. 636-689-0545, 689-0545, or go direct priglobal.ai, priglobal.ai. Want a special gift for someone who enjoys a good cigar or premium whiskey? Head for Lit Cigar Lounge in the district of Chesterfield Valley. You'll also find amazing, unusual lighters and ashtrays. You can't decide? Get a gift card. When you finish, walk a few doors down and enjoy Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta. The pizza baked in a coal-fired oven. Select from the menu or design your own. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta. This hour of Larry Connors USA, brought to you by my friends at Renewal by Anderson. And listen to this. Renewal is having a killer of a sale. Buy any window or door. Get a second one. 50% off, zero interest, no payments for 18 months. Renewal has the most five-star reviews of any full-service window company. Simply dial #250, #250, and say the key word, windows.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I know. Some in the incoming administration, are skeptical about the need for clean energy.
They don't even believe climate change is real.
Mm-hmm.
I think they come from a different century. They're wrong. They are dead wrong.
It's the single
greatest existential threat to humanity.
I think most of us are from a different century than Joe Biden at this point anyway. Maybe you are and I'm not. Let me put it that way. But Joe Biden, in one of his last major addresses about the concerns he sees for our nation and our world, is climate. Is climate. Really. Ignoring, of course, his open border policy, which is open our nation, our citizens, up to numerous crimes. That might also include arson, setting some of these fires. All of these fires in the Los Angeles area have not been caught or caused originally by a fire that started by accident or a power line dropping and then winds blowing the embers 100 miles or 100 yards away to another location. There's video that some residents have captured, as well as Ring Bell cameras on their doors capturing, as well as city cameras capturing men and women setting fires. And the other day, a bunch of citizens found a guy walking around with a blowtorch. Now, why would you carry a blowtorch unless you're going to start a fire? Now, I told you yesterday I've got the perfect defense for him. Well, I'm carrying it because if I see a fire, I can set a fire ahead of it and maybe create a burned-out area, and it will stop once it gets to that area. Right. This guy certainly looked like he was at school in that. By the way, the President of the United Firefighters of Los Angeles is saying the Palisades fire, which has turned out to be one of the worst, he said is a latest example of the city of L.A. being neglected by its leaders. He said, I've been on the board of the Los Angeles Fire Department for 17 years. And for years now, for decades, we've been neglected. They have not addressed a woefully understaffed fire department. We need 62 new stations, 100 more firefighters and medics, more engines, trucks. We're woefully understaffed. 24,000 fires, acres burned just in the Palisades fire, 14,000 in the Eaton fire on the eastern side of L.A. So it could have been prevented? I don't know. But more could have helped if we'd had resources we've been asking for in a city that's been neglected by the leaders for years. And some say were not being put on call right away when they might have been needed because the city did not want to pay the overtime. Well, don't call them out yet. We may not need them. We'd have to pay overtime. And there might have been an effort and a chance to maybe curtail some of the flames early. But I will admit, with winds at 70 to 80, 100 miles an hour gusting at a time from time, you're going to have a very difficult battle. And don't forget the lives that have been lost and a lot of property. Last night at the beginning of the football game in the playoffs between the Chargers and Rats. Who am I forgetting? Who are they playing? I'm sitting there watching them all the time. And I couldn't. The Rams, I said Chargers. Yeah, it's the Rams, not the Chargers. And, of course, they move. And the Vikings, thanks again, Quentin. Put this mind back where it should be, back inside my head. But basically, they did a big deal on behalf of the L.A. residents, and I have no problem with that. But I'm going to raise an issue for you in a moment. They even went to the length. They could not play at their facility in Los Angeles. L.A. was supposed to host the game. They ended up going to Arizona using Bidwell Stadium, and they even brought in paint, same color blue and everything else that they use at the L.A. Coliseum to make it look like a home field advantage. And then buses and planes were used to get fans from California that had tickets and from Minnesota to get them to the game if they needed help. I mean, they went all out to make it just what it should have been for them. And, yes, it was a great tribute and prayer and words said on behalf of the L.A. residents suffering. And I have no complaint about that. The question I have, maybe I missed it, but did I see that kind of outpouring of spirit and call for help from North Carolina when they're flooded? I mean, towns washed out into a lake, people missing, maybe still not found. Did I see and hear that about when the hurricanes hit Florida? I'm not knocking what they did last night, trying to draw attention and raise money for those in need in California. But it is, again, the focus because it is California, and the game was to be played in California. I acknowledge all of those things. And I don't want anyone to think that we should not be concerned about people, regardless of what their wealth or their status is, if they're suffering. There is a report from Fox News that stated, in the 2024-25 California state budget, Newsom signed into law in June 2024, slashing funding for wildfire and forest resilience by $100 million, according to an analysis of the California Legislative Analyst Office. That's Fox News. Okay, that's a bad source. Oh, did I forget to mention? Newsweek covered exactly the same story. So it is not just from one source. And you've got the Interior Secretary currently in this Biden administration responding that California removing dams due to pressure from Native American groups to protect the smelt, the fish that looks like a minnow. She said, I would expect this from climate deniers. They're looking for reasons all the time as to why we have to pay attention to what they want and not pay attention to what is needed for the environment. There we go, the environment issue again. And you heard Joe Biden say, and you heard Joe Biden say it is absolutely an essential issue. Well, CNN did a poll, and here's what they found.
I don't think Americans are making this connection. And the way we can see this in right here and now, take a look at the monthly change in Google searches. Look at the searches for wildfire, up 2,400%. My goodness gracious. This is the most amount of people searching for wildfires ever, going back since Google Trends began back in 2004. But look at climate change. Look at the change. It doesn't go hand in hand with wildfires. It's actually down. It's down 9%. And I also looked in California. There has been no increase in the number of searches for climate change. So the bottom line is this. Americans are definitely interested in learning about these wildfires. They're interested in following the news about the wildfires, but they are not making that connection with climate change. That's the bottom line.
If you're watching me on Rumble right now, that's exactly what he was doing when he said, they're not making the connection between the wildfires and the climate because they don't believe. They don't believe. And which, by the way, watching on Rumble, we don't make this just a stale product for you. Which brings me to Governor Gavin Newsom. I don't know who you have seen him lately. There was one piece of video. The man, I swear, you think he's on a ship. You watching right now? Watch this. While I'm talking to you or listening to you, what do you think's going on with me? Well, now, in this case, I'm faking it. But this is the way he's been appearing in some of his videos. And there are other times he's kind of doing this. Are you watching? Yeah. If you're not, you need to pull up and see it. But maybe you've already seen Gavin Newsom doing this. And in fact, it became a subject of Laura Ingraham's program last night.
Governor Gavin Newsom is regarded as a silver-tongued politician who can talk himself out of nearly any situation. Adultery, homelessness, break-ins, looting. But when you watch what his body is doing, it often tells a different story. Now, I don't know if he's wrapping his answers now or if he's exploring his next career as a replacement in a boy band.
Was it pipes? Was it electricity? It was a combination of pipes, electricity, and pumps. Some ideas around some land use concerns he has around speculators coming in.
Laura, what is that? It's like a snake what? Lulling its victim with a rhythm until it strikes, you know? It's a very odd proclivity he has to kind of, he worms and wiggles his way through answers. Very strange. Yeah.
He's always been a slick one, though, right?
Yeah, always been a slick one, but these movements, like, I have a question. Are you on drugs? Are you on drugs, Newsom? Legal or otherwise? Because what man stands there and starts doing this while speaking to reporters? Or, you know, what, really? Really? And you're supposed to be polished and solid. Maybe the phrase asking what man. I'll take that back. I'm not trying to demonize or put down anybody that likes to move their body around or they just nervously do anyway. But you're the state leader of California. I would think you'd know how to show poise and control, which he has in the past. That's why I'm wondering if something lately is happening with him. And forgive me if it's a medical issue and I'm mocking it. I withdraw all complaints and concerns and add prayers. But I don't think that's it. These forest fires in Los Angeles and California, they're likely to shape his future and all political politics in California if the residents are smart. Megyn Kelly has one example, her story, when we continue.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
The Napoli heritage of fine dining continues with Napoli Kirkwood. Napoli Kirkwood, now open. So, add that to Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, right next door to Napoli C, and don't forget about Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the district, Chesterfield Valley. All of those locations, plus now, open Napoli Kirkwood.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
My friend who lives in California, whose house burned, this is my one woke friend. I love this woman dearly, but she's woke. And amazingly, we've maintained our friendship. We kind of just don't talk about these subjects much, but she's woke. And she's like, MK, everyone I know is ready to vote Republican. She's like, everyone I know, all of her woke friends, all of her Dem friends. She was like, we're all talking about how soon we can get Republican leadership into these offices. I mean, that is saying something.
Yeah, it is. If woke people are saying we need better leadership, no kidding. I'm looking at a piece that shows, according to Moody's ratings, based on California 2023, the homeowners insurance policies in California that have been sold primarily by State Farm and Farmers Insurance. I don't know how that's going to affect those companies moving forward. But there's something like an analysis by J.P. Morgan estimated insurance losses could top $20 billion. Wells Fargo said $30 billion. Then with a range of $20 billion to $40 billion, both surpassing the $10 billion insured in a 2018 campfire that hit Paradise and neighboring communities. And we've already heard that overall, not just the Pacific Palisades and that area, you're looking at possibly $150 billion. And I'll remind you again that when there are dead or dying, vultures come in. And vultures are already circling California, as they have in Hawaii, as they are in parts of North Carolina. Vultures looking to swoop down and pick up land lots that people, they're too old to to go through a rebuild and live there again. They want to stay there, but they just can't go through it again. Or they want to get out of there. They don't want to face that again. Or maybe they lost a loved one and there's just no way do they want to go back. And they're going to be offering not full value for the land. Which, by the way, the other thing is, as of January 1, the folks in Palisades, California, the others that owned all those nice, beautiful homes, as of January 1, whatever they owe, that's their tax bill. That's their tax bill they owe. They owe for a house that's now burned to the ground. And generally, their property is going to be a third of whatever their tax bill is. So they would certainly owe for that third that they still hold, and they owe for the two-thirds of the home that is now ashes. You think California is going to relieve the taxes? If so, they're going to have a big, big burden coming in the future. More on that issue still to come in our next hour. You don't want to miss it. Lock and load, and as always, our pledge, one nation under God.